Welcome to Global Talk, an international affairs podcast from The National. I'm Justin Vella. With me is Dr. Michael Knights, an Iraq expert and Lafer Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. There are some calls being made for the United States to intervene in Iraq to fight terrorists, these militants from the Islamic State that have taken over large areas of the country. But if the United States does choose to become more involved militarily, it risks being perceived as backing Iraq's Shiite Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, and the various Shiite militias that are prepared to fight the Sunni insurgents. Can you describe some of the thinking that's probably taking place in Washington about how much to become involved right now?
All across the world, when the U.S. detects a major Salafi terrorist movement like the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Shams, as it was called recently, it tends to strike that movement. If that's in Yemen, or if it's in the Sahara Desert, or if it's in Afghanistan, Pakistan, any of these places, except for one. And the one place where it can get away with pretty much anything is the Iraq-Syria area. And the reason for that is, as you point out, because the US doesn't want to get dragged into a quagmire, a major conflict as a combatant. On the other hand, there are probably ways that the US can undertake discrete counterterrorism operations in the Iraq-Syria area without getting drawn into the broader conflict. People who oppose US military intervention will say that's easier said than done, and they're right. It would require discipline and focus for the US to undertake discrete counterterrorism operations without becoming involved in the broader civil war-like conditions that we see in Iraq. But, you know, that's the challenge for the US right now. And I imagine that the way to focus on this more discrete counterterrorism challenge is for the US to stay away from operations in and around Baghdad and the cross-sectarian areas around the Iraqi capital, where both Sunni and Shia live very closely meshed together, and instead for the US to focus any military intervention it does on the more open desert areas in the Iraq-Syria border area and in areas where the Islamic State are openly controlling affairs.
One of the other issues here is whether or not the conflict in Iraq holds some potential for the US to increase cooperation with Iran, or could it just increase tensions between the two countries? Both countries are flying drones over Iraq, for example. I've been wondering what happens if a US drone collides with an Iranian drone. Who would clean up that mess?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time in Iraq, and I remember seeing Iranian drones flying over both Basra and also Diyala provinces in the past. So it's not, a new phenomena that these two countries are essentially sharing the military advisor mission. That's always been the case, actually. The Iranians and the US have always both put trainers in. They've always also both put drones and technical intelligence collection into Iraq right the way back till 2003. If two drones hit each other, that's like two flies bumping into each other. That's a very unlikely thing to happen. But I suspect both sides would just, you know, wash their hands of it and say, oh, shucks, you know, we lost another two drones. But the broader point here is whether this could bring the US and Iran closer together, or whether this could actually be another source of irritation between the two. We had a small window in mid-June when the US and the Iranians were both stressing the importance of defeating ISIS in Iraq, where they were both offering significant security assistance to the Maliki government, and where there was briefly some talk, even from US congressional leaders, about this being something that the US and the Iranians could coordinate on. But why coordination? What they really meant was deconfliction, not getting in each other's way, and both providing assistance to the Iraqi government, and particularly pushing the political process in the same direction. In other words, that the politics in Iraq need to align before any form of security counteroffensive can restore government control to northern Iraq. Unless the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shia are on board, then no amount of military operations are going to restore the country back into the shape it was before June. And that's something that the US and the Iranians do agree on. And they have both pushed in the direction of removing Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. However, when it comes to security assistance to Iraq, the US and the Iranians are pushing in very different directions, really. It looks like the start point might be the same, but the end points are very different. The US is pushing for an integrated political military approach that draws the Sunnis back into power sharing in Iraq, and that makes maximum use of intelligence and co-option and targeted use of force. The Iranians are pushing for the Syria solution, which is extensive use of artillery, air power, extensive use of Shia militias, and to smash and crush the Sunni insurgency. So I've detected in the weeks after the uprising in Iraq that the US and the Iranians have actually started to move in very different directions.
And does Maliki have a chance of staying in power? Will he be able to find the support from other Shiite leaders in Iraq in order to remain as prime minister?
Maliki does stand a very high chance of being removed. I'd say maybe 80% plus chance of being removed during this crisis, because the other Shia factions recognize that, and the Iranians, I think, and the Shia religious establishment in Najaf recognize that the ascendancy of the Shia is under threat because his guys have just not delivered, and because he chooses the wrong generals, because he wants to concentrate power on himself, and he spends most of his time thinking about how to keep himself in power, not how to necessarily serve the Shia's overall interests in Iraq.
Finally, now that the U.S. is sending more troops to Iraq, flying drones over the country, and preparing to send more money to moderate rebels fighting in Syria, do you see this as the beginning of the U.S. getting more widely involved militarily in the Middle East again? Do you think that there will be more of a push to stay in the region?
I do see this as being the start of a new wave of U.S. military activism in the Middle East. Of course, the Obama administration wanted to banish the Middle East to the past, and many U.S. administrations have wanted the same thing for the same good reasons. The Middle East does need a moderating influence, and the U.S. has undertaken the role of honest broker in many Middle Eastern conflicts. The invasion of Iraq was a game-changing event, but that doesn't mean that the U.S. has no role in the Middle East going forward. It means what reasonable analysts, I think, have concluded, which is that any intervention the U.S. makes in the Middle East needs to be carefully thought out, and there needs to be an exit plan. The U.S. is now going to be strongly involved in Iraq as a counterterrorism partner, in the same way that it's been strongly involved in Yemen as a counterterrorism partner, or in Ethiopia, or in a number of other locations around the region. That makes sense because really the good war that President Obama always wanted to fight was the war against Al-Qaeda and its affiliate movements. When that war shifted in part from Afghanistan, Pakistan to Yemen, he undertook greater numbers of military operations and greater security assistance to the Yemeni government. And this is what we're seeing in Iraq now.